What's going on, everybody? This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany and Ashley Docking here with you. As always, welcome into our Fantasy Sports Network studios.
Yes.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I wore my wreath.
Oh, nice.
A little early for Christmas.
Tis the season.
We do have, just for everyone watching, we do have a special show on Thursday. We're going to be doing an hour of FST leading up until kickoff of all your NFL games. So make sure you tune in if you have nothing else to do. We'll be here, so we'd love to have you.
We're going to play some turkey games. Ashley's like very, very creative, so she's got some fun stuff for us. Plus, we're going to bring Howard Bender.
John Collins is going to come on.
John Collins is going to come in.
Make fun of him about Nelson Aguilar and how he's been so good lately.
And then, Howard Bender for some DFS NFL, and then Jake Seeley with his rankings. So, an action-packed Thursday, a great week.
We'd love to have you. But right now, we're having Israel Fair on the show, which is great. He's a writer for Yahoo Sports, so that's very exciting. We're going to talk about some baseball free agent signings, some trades, touch on the Blue Jays, the Astros, and maybe the Angels, just because, you know, Chris.
Just pick on me all the time.
We don't need another explanation. Well, if it's true, then it's true.
Well, we'll see later if it's true.
Michael Clifford also joins us. There's five games on the ice, so we're doing some NHL DFS as well. But first, an update on AJ Green. Chris, we thought he had a torn hamstring yesterday. The MRI revealed it's a little less severe.
Yeah, it's just a strain. So that's good news. Yeah. I mean, it's great news, of course, for AJ Green. It's great news for the Bengals. It's great news for people who own AJ Green. Now, will we see him come fantasy football playoff time? Actually, honestly, my guess is no. He's already ruled out this week and next week. We're talking, you know, not ruled out week 14, but that's probably best case scenario. I guess it is if he's ruled out for the next 2 weeks, if I do my math correctly. But AJ Green, I mean, I just don't feel like he is going to come in and be, you know, 100%. Clearly, he can't be 100%. I mean, he's only a handful of yards away, 36 yards away from having six straight 1,000-yard seasons as a wide receiver to start his career. Nobody's ever done that. So, I mean, that's a career goal for him, a milestone, but you got to think of the big picture here. I don't feel like he's going to be back into the lineup, and I don't think he can help you out fantasy football playoff time. That said, he's not ruled out for the remainder of the year, so you don't need to drop him. Hopefully you didn't do that.
I can tell you right now, I've been dealing with a hamstring injury for the last 2.5-3 months, and I still feel it. I can't even go on the treadmill at like a 9 incline without feeling it. And I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and guess that AJ Green is probably a little bit more explosive than me in his movement.
Slightly.
Very, very minutely. But it's going to be something that's going to be tough even if he does decide to come back.
Sell yourself short. I've seen you on the football field.
I'm not, but I'm just being real. Like, I'm not going to be like, I'm better than AJ Green. Like, okay, bye. See you later. Andrew Luck is questionable for the Colts game on Thursday. They're taking on the Steelers. He suffered a concussion last week, and, you know, this was inevitable.
This was a surprise to me. I was shocked to hear this yesterday.
What? He's been sacked more than anyone else in the league. This was something that was going to happen. You talk about Cam Newton getting in trouble, people taking headshots. Andrew Luck is not being protected by his offensive line at all. Wow. And, I mean, you're going to pay this guy millions and millions of dollars, $20 million plus
Rosie
a season.
Cheeks looks like Rudolph on that picture.
But do you know what I mean? And you're not going to pay an offensive line to protect your biggest asset, and he's going to be out with a concussion
in
an important time for their team.
I agree. 100%. You know, you talked about the Angels off the start. A lot of people say that they're just wasting his years. I think the Colts are wasting great years from Andrew Luck. I mean, take a page out of the Dallas Cowboys book and build that offensive line. We saw Luck just get pounded time in and time out last season. He missed a bunch of time with an injury.
He had a lacerated kidney. Yeah. That's something that you get in a car crash.
Yeah.
Guys, his offensive line makes like $21 million or something this year. That's 13 or 14% of the salary cap. Luck makes the same as his entire offensive line. I understand that you have to pay it for premium positions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, draft somebody instead of drafting a Philip Dorsett, somebody who's exactly like T.Y. Hilton, clearly not as good, but that's like the upside for him. This is not great at all, but what I'm saying is I'm surprised because I didn't hear anything about that football game. He must have played with a concussion. I mean, he just entered protocol yesterday around like 5 o'clock. Adam Schefter tweeted that. So, that's concerning. There's only been one player who's been in protocol on Monday and played on Thursday because they play Thursday night, and that's Devontae Adams, wide receiver. I don't think Luck is going to play in this game. Some reports out of the Indianapolis Star is that he's highly unlikely to play. That means Scott Tolzien's going to play. If Scott Tolzien's going to play, that's not great.
That's trouble
and
for
that's
everyone.
Not great for Dante Moncrief, who has 9 touchdowns in his last 12 games with Andrew Luck. It's not great for T.Y. Hilton. Maybe it's good for Frank Gore, who's been consistent, but you got to feel like they're going to be able to, you want them to be able to move the ball to have Frank Kyecor be great. So this is not, I mean, I don't have much confidence in Scott Tolzien. You know? Well, I don't know how you feel about him, but I'm not going on the waiver wire and picking him up, and I'm certainly not playing him Thursday night DK.
He hasn't thrown a meaningful pass since 2013, and in his last six games, he has one touchdown and five interceptions. I think it's safe to say we can move on.
I might just play the Steelers defense.
Let's just prattle through some of these injuries, Chris. Vontae Davis was seen in a walking boot, sticking with the Colts. So he's questionable. He played through an injury all last week anyway, and he wasn't really that effective. So look for him to not be on the field either.
Yeah. And then Antonio Brown, even a bigger boost.
Big time. And then what's going on with Sammy Watkins? Yeah, is he back or not?
Sammy Watkins, we kind of like gave him a lot of hate yesterday, and it was probably a little bit unfair. But yeah, Rex Ryan says he's going to, quote, play some, he thinks, in this game against the Jags. He's actually 40% owned in Yahoo. So, I mean, if he's hanging around your waiver wire, I mean, you certainly go and pick him up, because Oakland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland after this, which is pretty nice schedule for him. Sammy Watkins is skilled. He's definitely talented, but I don't expect much from him in this first game. And the Buffalo wide receiver core is very, very weak, so they really need this guy back. They have a shot at the playoffs. So if he's available, you go ahead and pick him up. If Matt Barkley is available, you go ahead and just leave him on your waiver wire, because it looks like he may get the start. Jay Cutler, I heard today that the Bears will know if Jay Cutler needs to have season-ending shoulder surgery. It's not great. I don't know, Cutler.
Does it really matter?
I wouldn't say anything bad.
I mean, we were just talking about Chicago, and we were saying pretty much all of their assets you can go ahead and discard, unless it's going to be someone like Jordan Howard. Yeah, He's basically the only one that has value at this point.
Yeah, so Cameron Meredith, I mean, what's he going to do with Matt Barkley? I mean, what's Eddie Royal going to do? Miller was awesome last week, and now he's done for the season. Yeah. So yeah, Jordan Howard is the only guy you want, but how often they're going to be able to move the ball with Matt Barkley, and not very well. So yeah, I mean, Jordan Howard is the guy who's going to get a lot of play, and even Langford's been sprinkled in, which kind of would probably tick off a lot of Howard owners. Like, stop giving the ball to Langford.
Although Howard did lead the team with 8 targets, only one reception completed with Jay Cutler, so that's a huge boost in PPR as well. And then quickly, before we get out of here, Adrian Peterson. We knew this guy was a freak of nature, but he tore his meniscus, and now he might be playing in a couple weeks. What? I mean, the Vikings obviously could use the boost. Their backfield's been a bit of a disaster since he's been down.
And that's an understatement.
Chris, like, what do you make of this?
Freak.
He tore his meniscus, for goodness sakes, and now he's looking to make a return for the playoffs. Do you pick him up off the waiver wire, Chris?
Absolutely, 100%.
Because he's on there.
He should be owned for sure. He is on there. His ownership has jumped up considerably since this news. He's hovering around 30% in Yahoo, right around the same in ESPN. If he's back, the tentative date is week 15, December 18th against the Colts. It's a great matchup, so maybe perhaps you can get him for championship week. It's AP. I don't want to count him out, because we've counted him out before and he's came back and he's been awesome. So you go ahead and you pick him up and you just see what happens. I don't think he'll be 100% week 15, week 16. He may only get a handful of carries, but if Minnesota starts winning some ball games, maybe they have him come playoff time.
See, I have the opposite thing. I think if he's going to come back, he's going to be like, give me the ball.
He's not going to come back for limited touches.
He's like, it's all or nothing, baby. All right, we got to get out of here, but we're coming right back with Michael Clifford. We're doing NHL DFS on FST. Guys, this is Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for sticking around with us. We're doing some NHL DFS right now, and to help us out, we're bringing on Michael Clifford of Project Roto. How's it going, sir?
Oh, not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
We're doing well. 5 games on the ice. Michael, everyone always wants to razz on me when I start talking about the Habs, but they're the best team in the NHL, so just deal with it.
That's why we want to razz on them, because even if they weren't the best team in the NHL, they would still be the best team.
They're the worst team in the NHL. Let's still play them in DFS. But no, jokes aside, Alexander Radulov has really impressed me. This was a guy I kind of stayed away from in season-long leagues. I didn't know how he would gel with Michel Therrien, but the energy level has been there. He brings it every single night, and is this a guy you're thinking about playing continually, you know, in DFS?
Yeah, I mean, you know, tonight's a small slate for Tuesday. It's only 5 games, but when you're looking at the mid-price wingers, I think you definitely have to include Radulov in here. I know it's kind of tricky picking guys from Montreal, because they really do spread out their ice time a fair amount, but when he's playing with Alex Galchenyuk, they tend to get the softer matchups, lots of low zone starts. Lots of, you know, third lines, fourth lines, step defense pairings. They typically use the other two top forward lines against in the tougher matchups. So, especially if you saw the lines today, I mean, Max Pacioretty's pretty much, you know, not usable. And Brendan Gallagher's not really having a normal year. I think Montreal can get a couple goals on the board here tonight. And in doing so, I think that's going to come from Galchenyuk and Radulov. So I'll be going for Radulov for a mid-price winger here tonight.
Only five games, so it could be tough to kind of pick your spots. But the names that you gave us, you had a lot of interest in the Carolina-Toronto game. Why is that?
Yeah, if you look at Vegas, I mean, you know, you don't want to always take Vegas as gospel, but they have this game at a 5.5 over under, and it's about even money to hit the over. In fact, they're about the same price to hit the over at 5.5 that Boston and St. Louis are to hit just the over at 5. So it seems like Vegas is expecting a lot of scoring in this game. You know, Toronto's one of the higher paced teams in the NHL. They're kind of like a good offensive team, but they also give up a lot in return. So if you're expecting a high event game, that's generally where you can figure a lot of goals to come from. And the Leafs penalty killing hasn't been very good this year either. So I think Carolina can get a few goals here tonight. And I think Cam Ward's going to turn into a pumpkin here. And it'll be about time he cracks a little bit and Toronto gets their fair share as well.
Yeah, Cam Ward's been playing lights out lately. This is probably going to come back down to earth. Who's the guy that you're paying up for tonight? I mean, maybe it's a goalie, but who's the forward you want to pay up for?
Yeah, I don't see how you can get away from the Getzlaff and Perry line, especially Corey Perry here tonight. They're at home to the Islanders, and the Islanders, you can make an argument they're the worst defensive team in the NHL, not named the Arizona Coyotes. I think they're allowing the second most shot attempts against a 5-on-5, the second most shot attempts against on the penalty kill. It's just bad all around, and their best defensive, or two-way forward at least, is John Tavares, and the Ryan Kessler line should see most of him tonight. So that'll get Perry and Getzlaff against the really poor depth of the Islanders. So, you know, there are other options to pay up tonight, you know, in St. Louis and in Boston, things like that. But for my cash games, I'd rather just play it safe, go with the good matchups, and definitely grab Corey Perry tonight.
And if you're using Corey Perry on FanDuel, you're saving a little bit of money. $300 is the difference, $6,900 on FanDuel compared to $7,200 on DraftKings. But if we're looking at the center position, some of the guys you're interested in, they're not the top guys. You have John Tavares, Claude Giroux, Getzlaff, Kessler, Galchenyuk, Bergeron, but then Nazem Kadri, I know you already mentioned the Toronto game, but is he the guy that you're sticking with tonight?
Yeah, I really like Kadri's spot here tonight just because, again, it's a matchup thing. If you look at Carolina, they've been pretty good this year possession-wise, or at least shot differentials is a better term to use. But he should see a lot of the Victor Rask line, and Rask line hasn't been very good defensively this year. They've been probably the worst on Carolina. So even though, you know, Kadri might get, you know, quote-unquote the top offensive line from Carolina, they're also in return probably the worst defensive line. Mm-hmm. So I think Kadri is in a good spot here. I mean, he's taking 2.5 shots per game. His shooting percentage has regressed from last year in a good way. It's back to about career norms. So he could be a 25 goal scorer this year. He's also playing on that power play with Austin Matthews. So I think a lot of people will chase Bozak here tonight. I just don't like it. I don't like that matchup against the Jordan Staal line. So I think I'd rather have Nazem Kadri rather than pay up for Austin Matthews on DraftKings.
Alexander Barkov's right around the same price. Ashley was just giving you prices of centers. This is a guy who's kind of had a bit of a slow start, but I feel like he's a great buy-low candidate in season-long leagues. And how do you feel about him tonight?
Yeah, he is a good buy-low candidate. And as far as tonight goes, I mean, I don't think we can kind of overstate the loss of Jonathan Huberdeau to that line. He was, you know, Barkov's obviously a very good hockey player. Jagr's, you know, kind of had a resurrection. But Huberdeau was kind of the engine on that line in the sense that he was the distributor. You know, if you look at the power play numbers, he was, you know, elite in assists on the power play. So losing Huberdeau kind of hurt. But now they have UC Jokinen on that line with them. Jokinen has three straight seasons with at least 36 assists. I think only like 13 other forwards have done that over the last 3 years. So he's a very good distributor. And they'll also see the depth lines, I think, from Philadelphia here tonight. Philadelphia gives up a lot of high danger chances against, and Couturier and Konechny have been particularly bad in that regard. So I think, you know, maybe the volume won't be there for shots as far as Barkov goes, but I think he's in a pretty good opportunity to score here tonight.
Michael, as we know, according to Chris, the Montreal Canadiens are the best team in the entire world.
Well, right now they are.
But their goalie Carey Price is actually legitimate. legitimate. He's the most expensive on both formats, DraftKings and FanDuel tonight. But are you fading him in favor of someone else because you're maybe afraid of high ownership?
Yeah, I really like Price's spot here tonight. Obviously, Ottawa's had their trouble scoring this year. I think they're 28th or 29th in goals per game this year. So, you know, if people want to use Carey Price, I'm fine by that. I really like Tuukka Rask in Boston here tonight. You know, I think to a lot of people's surprise, Boston has been one of the better defensive teams in the NHL this year. They're at the top in shot differential. They're allowing the sixth fewest shot attempts per minute. St. Louis has had their struggles scoring as well this year. So Boston's been a much better defensive team top to bottom than it has been in recent years. You know, typically you just kind of avoid the Bergeron matchup and then it was all systems go after that. But it's been a little bit different this year. And Rask has played out of his mind as well. And I think he'll have a lot less ownership than Carey Price will. So if you want to pay up for Price and take that 30 or 40% ownership, you know, I'm fine with that. But I could see Tuukka Rask being about 20% or less. And that's where I'm going to end up going tonight, especially in tournaments.
As good as Price's numbers have been, Rask's numbers have been actually better. And the only team I think he's lost to has been Carey Price in Montreal. All right, let's get you out of here on the defenseman. Who are you playing for D tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to save up a little bit here tonight. I don't particularly like the expensive options. You know, Erik Karlsson's going into Montreal. That's obviously a tough matchup with Carey Price. Shea Weber's, I think, in my mind, is overpriced on DraftKings. He's a little bit more reasonable on FanDuel. But I'm looking at Jacob Slavin from Carolina. He's exceptionally cheap. He's only $3,500 on FanDuel. He's, you know, Justin Falk gets all the headlines among the Carolina defensemen for his offensive prowess. Noah Hanifin's looked really good this year, but Slavin's right in the mix with them. He's really underrated as a defenseman. He's playing over 22 minutes a game. He's good for, you know, probably a shot and a couple block shots on top of that, especially where Toronto plays at such a high pace. So he has a real solid floor for cash games. I wouldn't necessarily use him in tournaments because I don't think he has, you know, that 7 or 8 point upside on DraftKings that you might be looking for a defenseman. But I think for cash games, you can probably lock him in for a couple points here tonight. He's running, you know, the Rask and Skinner power play unit as well as a lone defenseman. And as I talked about, that least penalty kill isn't very good. So if you're looking to kind of punt on defense here tonight, and I am, I'm going to be taking Slav.
All right. That least penalty kill isn't very good, but you're phenomenal. Michael, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
All right, thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Right, enjoy the hockey.
Care. All right, Israel Fair, Yahoo Sports, free agent signing.
Talking to baseball next.
Coming up next.
Stick around.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Israel Fair joins us now on the desk from Yahoo Sports. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball. Hello, sir. How's it going?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Tis the season, bud. Baseball. This is, if you're a baseball fan, this is actually a pretty exciting time of the year.
The hot stove season. It's going to be hot pretty soon. And we've seen some signings already early on, but I think in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start to see some big time signings, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk about the Toronto Blue Jays, because obviously two of the biggest names, not only on their team, but in baseball. I mean, Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista, you know, unrestricted free agents. They signed Kendrys Morales to a deal. Typically a DH, played some right field last season, played some first base, but typically a DH. Let's talk about his impact with Toronto and then go towards what you think will happen with those other two superstars.
Well, Morales is a nice fail-safe signing for the Blue Jays. He's a guy that can be your DH really over the last couple of years, outside of a slow start this season, has been a very productive player, a guy that gets on base, a guy that can have some power, and I think coming to Toronto and having that park and to play in that park will be a big factor for him. But in Toronto and really across the baseball world, it will be about what happens with Jose Bautista, what happens with Edwin Encarnacion. It could really shift the balance of power in the American League, certainly, and definitely show us where the Blue Jays might be headed going forward.
Well, what do you think happens to those two guys? I mean,
I think there's a good shot they both stay, or one of them stays. I don't think that they will both come back, but depending on what the salaries look like, I think that one of them might stay, and we'll have to see what the market plays out like, because we really haven't seen enough signings at the top tier yet to see how it's going to shake out.
I think things are really unfortunate the way they kind of turned out for Jose Bautista, because he has yet to get that real big payday for kind of the superstar that he's become in Toronto, and then he had his health deteriorate this year, really kind of bottoming out the market on himself. But I have a question for you. They bring in Kendrys Morales. on a team that has some veterans, that have some guys that, you know, get a bit dinged up, he holds down the DH spot. So does that kind of limit them strategically towards the end of the season, or when guys need rest days but they still want to keep their bats in the lineup?
Sure, a little bit. And definitely in this day and age where there's some versatility and you like to rotate, you like to use that DH spot, we're seeing fewer players like David Ortiz who are full-time DHs and produce like that, and you want to have them in your lineup every day, especially the team like the Jays where you'd like to give Russell Martin a day off his feet but keep his bat in the lineup. We saw it with Josh Donaldson down the stretch when he was battling some injuries. He was in that DH spot. But I guess at the price that Morales came at, and they feel that his production will be enough to have him in that spot, and they'll have to be a little bit more creative in giving Josh Donaldson, Russell Martin, Troy Tulowitzki, these kind of guys, some time off their feet.
Or just be comfortable enough once in a while to know that you're sitting, what, $10, $11 million on the bench for a game or two, and just be okay with that.
Yeah. 30 home runs last year for Morales. I mean, he's hitting 30-plus a couple times in his season. So, I mean, he can be productive, especially, you know, inside that division and some of those hitter-friendly ballparks, definitely. But which guy do you think Toronto goes with? Is it Edwin? I mean, some reports yesterday that he turned down a four-year deal. Is that the guy? I mean, when Batista was hurt, the Jays were rolling, and Edwin really kind of stepped up, I found. And then Batista came back, and they struggled. And I don't want to blame it on him, thinking that it was him and he was the reason they struggled. But if you were to choose one guy, I mean, who would it be?
In a perfect world, it's Encarnacion. I just think that the season that he had has made him that much more expensive than those guys. Sure. He's going to be a guy that's probably going to get somewhere between a 4 and a 5 year deal, and we're going to be looking somewhere between $90 to $120 million for a guy that's had super production now for the last 4 or 5 years, has stayed relatively healthy. He always seems to have small little injuries. You're talking about a thumb or something wrong with his foot, but he hasn't had sort of the larger injuries that Bautista has had. But I do think that there's a better chance that Bautista stays in Toronto because he'll come cheaper. He's already come out, his agent has come out and said that he's interested in playing left field, playing first base, putting himself out there so that he's going to be attractive to some teams, maybe in the National League as well. And if they can get him in a deal, maybe a 3-year deal, $60 million, he's still a pretty productive guy in the middle of the lineup.
Everyone always loves to talk about the Jays' bats because they do have some firepower for sure. But
really,
their bullpen was, if not underrated last season, and maybe overperformed a little bit. They just lost Brett Cecil. He's gone to the Cards, I believe.
Yep,
so what do you make of their whole bullpen rotation situation now? Do you think J-Hap and Estrada are going to be as good as they were this year, next year?
That's a good question, because they probably overperformed a little bit.
They did, and I do think that they feel comfortable with Roberto Osuna being a relief pitcher. He's going to be their closer, and then they'll build up from there. Jason Grilli back. Losing Cecil's tough. He's been a guy that's been very productive for them for the last 4 seasons now, really, since he became a reliever. But he came out of the price range. The Cardinals really made it known that they were very interested in bringing him in, being a guy that could be their eighth inning guys. The Blue Jays were not willing to pay a setup guy that kind of money, and they'll have to rely on some of their younger pitchers maybe, and see what a guy like Joe Biagini in his rookie season performed very, very well. He might have a bit of a bigger role in that bullpen, and from there I think you have to trust the starting pitching. You have to trust Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman, J-Hap, Marco Estrada. Now with R.A. Dickey gone to Atlanta, Francisco Liriano in that 5 spot, and really in the American League, that's a pretty darn good rotation.
We only got about a minute left. You saw on the board there that Houston was one of the several teams interested in Edwin Encarnacion. They've made some moves. I mean, they acquired 2 lefties, Brian McCann from the Yankees, to get Josh Reddick, a free agent signing who really just crushes righties. 73 home runs against right-handed pitching in his career compared to 23 against lefties. These are good moves for Houston, aren't they?
They're good moves, and they're a team that after having a bit of a breakout in 2015 took a bit of a step back last season, and they're solidifying some of those holes. Josh Reddick gives them a nice bat in the outfield, a pretty solid defensive player as well, and Brian McCann's a guy that wants to catch and will be have the opportunity to catch. So between Reddick and McCann plugging some of those holes, and if they go out and they sign a player like Yoenis Cespedes or Edwin Encarnacion, that would really take them to the next level and put them among the top contenders in the AL.
That would be scary, I think.
They're on their way. I mean, they're very, very talented, and they got heavy hitting right-handed lineup, so it's nice to get those lefties. I want to say, just before we get out of here, 46 of the 69 home runs, the last 69 home runs have been at Yankee Stadium for McCann, so I think his power numbers probably come down going from a spacious AL West division.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Well, Izzy, thank you so much for being here. Where can people check you out? Your Twitter handle quickly?
At Israel Fair.
Wow.
Ooh, so that easy.
Creative.
Very creative.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, follow this guy. He's a great follow. We'll see you tomorrow.